Hi guys, welcome back to Grace Unveiled with Debbie. I know I've been gone for so long, but I'm coming back bigger and better with a wonderful revelation, a wonderful message that I got from the EPE conference with our esteemed man of God, Pastor Bearden Lawal. It was amazing. And I just thought I need to share this because, you know, when you know that these things exist, you can place yourself and then you can elevate yourself as well. Because these are today's topic, the five levels of relationship a Christian can have with God. Praise the Lord. Amazing. I'm so excited to share this, and I hope you too are excited to receive this. The first stage, the first level of relationship that you can have with God as a Christian is God as a creator and you as his creation. This is a very general class. This is like, I feel like, you know, personally, I feel like you don't even need to be a Christian to be in this class, because there's some people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, but, you know, they believe in a higher power. They believe that God is, you know, a creator. He creates everything. So they are already believing this. So if you're a Christian and you're in this stage, we need to elevate you. Praise the Lord. And you can elevate yourself by knowing what stages are available and then, you know, actively working to reach those places. The next stage is God and his people. Praise the Lord. So you become a people of God. You become members of his nation. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2 verse 10. And I'll be reading from the ESV. And it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise the Lord. Amazing. So it tells you that before you were creation, but now you've been elevated. You now have mercy. You are now the people of God. Like the Jews have always been the people of God. But you see, this is also a general class. You have to elevate. And how do you elevate? By knowing the next stage and then actively working to get there. Praise the Lord. Now, to come to this third level of relationship with God, there's something that needs to happen. And we'll turn to 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17, to know what this exactly is. And it says, this is the Lord speaking. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. God is definitely saying something here, and it's very clear. You have that. There needs to be a separation from the world. Between you and the world. That's what I mean. And then after the separation takes place, you now become his children. It becomes God and his kids. He becomes your father. It is now a relationship, a budding relationship. It leaves a place of religion. It leaves a place of servitude. You are no longer a servant. You're no longer trying to do something. There's now, you know, there's a love factor in it. A very mighty love factor. You know, your father does not need to, I don't know if you, I hope each and every one of us are in, you know, healthy relationships with our fathers. But I mean, imagine you call your dad, hey dad, how are you doing? You know, I'm just calling to see how you are doing. I love you so much. Have a great day today. Bye. Or your dad calls you and he's telling you about his day. That kind of, you know, rapport, that's what exists between you and God now at this stage, because there has been a separation. God cannot mingle with unclean things. God cannot mingle with darkness. So you need to take yourself out of there. You need to separate. You need to identify who you are with. Praise the Lord. However, you know, there are five stages. This is the third stage. So we need to still elevate, but let's talk about the stage more. You know, as a child of God, you are now a temple. God dwells in you. You know, the previous stage is God and the people of God. They have mercy, but there's something that they can't do. They can't increase in grace because they're stuck at a level. Praise the Lord. And we need to elevate. So the next stage that we're going to, remember, the separation has already taken place. Yeah? This next stage is powerful. Let's open to John 15, verse 14. The book of John. Thank you. And it says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Even if we go forward into verse 16, and he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hold on. People like to skip verse 14, skip verse 16, skip everything in verse 16, and then they will jump into the last part where it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. But there's a premise. He says, you know, do what I have called you to do. What has God called us to do? This is amazing. It's amazing. He has called us to win souls. That is, bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You're supposed to win souls, and he has also commanded us to love one another. Praise the Lord. So now stage four, it becomes a relationship between friends. It becomes God and his friends. You become a friend of God. And this only happens when you do what he has commanded you to do. And I've said what his commandments are for us to do. We're supposed to win souls. We're supposed to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're supposed to feel the word of God like the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord. And then anything you open your mouth to ask the Father, he will do it for you because you are bringing forth fruit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Friends work with the Father, not for the Father. As John was saying there, we are no longer servants because servants don't know what they... Imagine, when I was younger, I used to have some nannies that used to live in my house. The only thing those nannies know is that they should take care of me, they should bathe me, feed me, one takes me to school, they bring me back, you know, they have a job description. When my mom and my grandma are talking, they can't come and sit down there and be, you know, imputing knowledge or putting their opinions. When the adults are talking, even the children, me, I can even go and sit down there. But when the adults are talking, they naturally, you know, leave. They go to their own station. They go to their corner and they mind their business because what is going on in the house is not of their concern. As I was saying, you know, me, I'm the child. So, I mean, I can sit down there. There's some things that they won't tell me. There's some things that they cannot entrust into my hands, I mean. But still, there's a rapport. There's a love. They're like, hey, friends, you can stay here. She can listen. But imagine if my mom's friend comes into the house. What happens? She comes and she joins the conversation because there's a trust. There's a level. There's a level of understanding. There's a level of growth that the friends of friends have. So we're no longer servants. We're no longer just children. That is, we're no longer just me, young me. Just, you know, I might not even understand what they're talking about. However, imagine your mom's friend coming to the house. They will talk about everything in the whole world. All this gist that they've been saving since they saw each other. That is the relationship we now have with God. He has entrusted into us all the things that concern him. And we're now working with him to achieve his sole aim. And that is to fill the world with the salvation, with the message and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amazing, amazing. Now, I told you there are five stages. If you are in level four, you are blessed. If you're in level three, you are blessed, but it's not enough. Go to level four. But if you are now in level four, hallelujah, we are going to the peak of the relationship status. We are going to the highest form of a relationship that you can have with God. Some people are here already, but if you're in level four, listen to me. Let's open to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I'm excited. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. Hallelujah. For listen to the nouns here. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Let's read that again. For we now Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, Peter. Apostle Peter, I think, was writing this letter to the Corinthian church. I think it's Paul. I might be switching them, but we know it's Paul. I know it's Paul, Peter. He was writing this letter to the Corinthian church. Now, if you're talking from your perspective, you naturally, you know, how do I explain this so that we can understand? Me and my family, I'm referring to me and my family, like, you know, my cousins and my dad and my mom and, you know, everyone else. And I'm talking to a large congregation. And I'm saying, we are the Onyibes. You are the rest of the crowd. So you can see there's a separation there. I'm saying we. So I'm talking to a specific group of people. I'm not saying all of us. It cannot be all of us. If I'm talking about my family, I'm saying we. So only members of my family are the people I'm referring to. And then when I say you, I'm not talking to the rest of them. So there's a separation. There's a line I've drawn. Now, the apostle is saying, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So he's saying we're the ones that are working with God. We're making things happen. We're working, you know, with the Father. We're doing things together. But then you are the field. You're God's building. So we are building you so you can reach this level. Praise the Lord. Let's go to level 5. Level 5 is a partnership. You become a partner with God. Now, you are no longer working for God. You are working with God. Hallelujah. This is the highest level of relationship. When you're in a partnership with someone, yeah? You know, in business, when you enter a partnership, you have to invest something. And then what happens at the end of the year, you get your returns based on the level, based on what you have brought into that partnership, based on your investment. Mm. To be a partner, you must be an investor. So you must be giving something into the gospel. You must be giving something to the word of God. You must be giving your time, your finances, your anything you have, you must give it because it's an investment, and an investment needs to take place for that to be a partnership. Praise the Lord. So to be a partner, as I was saying, there must be an investment, and your returns in partnership is based on your investment. God himself, as one partner to you, he has given something, and that something is his all. He gave his son, he gave his life, his Holy Spirit. Ha, Kale Bagaya. And then you, what are you going to give? He says, I was saying before, to get the best returns, you must match his investment, his all, with your all. What is your all? See, some people's all can be a car, can be an Escalade car. Maybe that's a car that they got for a gift, for doing something, you know, wonderful. And then everything else that they have, they've invested into this car, and that car means so much to them. That might be their all. If you give that car. Wait. Mm. There's this revelation that a man of God, Pastor Biodun Lawal, you know, he explained something about the character of God. There's two men in the Bible, two significant men that outgave God. Let's talk about Abraham first. Abraham had waited years for that son, and God gave him his son, Isaac. And when God said, sacrifice your son to me, Abraham did not bat one eyelid. He carried his all. He carried his everything. And he bundled his everything and put it on the altar, having full trust in his partner, God. Having full confidence and faith in his God. And he put his son, and he was. In fact, if the angel had not held Abraham's hand, that son, Isaac, would have been dead long. So Abraham actually gave his son as an offering already. However, God looked, I don't have any son to give. What then happened? Abraham outgave God. Hey, imagine. God is looking, what? A man can do this? Let's hold on. Another man who outgave God, Jonathan. Jonathan, the son of Saul. The throne was rightfully theirs. Nobody begged Jonathan to do this. Nobody told Jonathan to do this. But he stood up willingly and in love offered his throne to David. God looked around. Ah! He's the only one on his throne. There's no one else sharing it with him. Who can he give his throne to? Who will he be able to give his, you know, his kingdom to? Ah! God was looking. God was shook. That's the word I will use it to do. I will use it to explain it. He was shook. So what happened? On that same Mount Moriah, years later, God's son, Jesus, he had to look away from his son, and his son had to die for the sins of the world. Because you cannot outgive God. If God did not do that, do you know what would happen? Abraham would be the greatest man on earth. But God could not let that happen. Abraham brought his own dice to the table. He changed the game. And what did God do? God matched it. Jonathan gave his throne to another man without anyone ever asking him to do it. So when Jesus came back to heaven after fulfilling all the prophecies and fulfilling all his rights on earth, God stood up and gave him his throne. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. And it pleases the Father to dwell completely in Jesus. I hope you're getting this. See, when Abraham gave his son, at that point, Abraham had, as I said before, outgave God. God did not have anything to give him or to match that, because that is Abraham's all. So God had to give him the whole world and call him possessor of heaven and earth, give him the entire universe. But still, it had not matched. It hadn't been the matching had not happened until later on with Jesus. Ha! Huh. Amazing, amazing. So what am I trying to say? When you challenge God, when you outgive, when you bring your all, what happens? God gives you, bam, take it too. You bring 1 million, God brings 7 million. You bring the 7 million, but God brings 14 million. Like that, until you are so great, you are so mighty. But this cannot happen unless you're in a partnership with God, unless you are willing to invest in God. Praise the Lord. You see, being a partner with the gospel, being a partner with God, is the highest form of relationship you can ever ask. Hallelujah. So I'm challenging you to challenge God in your relationship. He will never allow you to outgive him. So what will only happen? You will grow and grow and grow mighty and mighty and mighty until the whole... Hey, is he only you? Are you the only child? That's the only question they'll be asking. Is it just you? What is going on? Hey. And you know, one key thing that we need to understand in that level 4, level 5... Friends, you know, the Bible says, you know, and you ask of anything and the Father will give it to you. They have to ask. Partners, they don't ask. They don't. Imagine in a bank, you know, you're a partner. Maybe you partner with some, you know, companies. You have some shares and everything. There's a law of things. There's a sequence of things. When you give your investment at the end of the year, you don't need to ask. Your check will come in the mail, or it will, you know, go directly to your deposit. You don't need to. Imagine walking to the bank in December, then you start shouting, "Hey, excuse me. So earlier I invested. I'm here to collect my returns." They'll probably think you've lost your mind, because that's not the way things work. You don't need to ask. It's not a necessity. As a partner, just imagine something. Bam! It's already there. Praise the Lord. That is how partners work. I mean, friends, you may need to maybe you know, you need some money to. You need some money to tow your car. You call your best friend. "Hey, Lisa, I need you to, you know, please just send me some money. I'll pay you back. Or, you know, can you just help me out here? I'm stranded on the road. I need to, you know, tow my car." And your friend be like, "Yeah, that's fine. Let me send you the money." As a partner, you dare not. You do not have to. Just enter anything that requires, you know, help or aid. It's coming to you. I hope you're understanding this. Being a friend and a partner, two different things. So if you're a friend, start elevating, start working towards being a partner. Number two thing, as I said before, number one, to be a partner, there must be an investment. Number two thing, devotion. God is completely and utterly devoted to us. You also must match that. You must also be devoted to him. Praise the Lord. I leave you with this. Know this completely. God is a God of love. He doesn't override human laws on this earth, because he gives us the rights. He gives us the power. He made us in his image. We too are gods in our own rights. And he respects that. God always has to match great love. Let's look at we just looked at the story of Abraham and Jonathan. How are you going to challenge him? How will you cause a ripple? How will you shake God? Can you shake God?